You're listening to the Bubble Fizz Network.
I don't give a fuck. I'm after solo. For all I carry, could be hiding at Yoda's dojo. Gotta make the money. Credit's no good when a job is running shop in your neighborhood. Think you can cook? I got a grappling hook. Let's make this quick, cause I'm really booked. I'm a devious, degenerate defender of the devil. Shocking all the trash compactors on the detention level. My backpack got jets. Well, I'm Boba. All the fat. Well, I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my vet.
Hello, movie fans. Welcome back. Once again, you are listening to The Bargain Bin, brought to you by the Bubble Fuzz Podcast Network. I am your host, The Filmster. Of course, you know me from my very popular YouTube channel. You may also know me from my Substack page, The Cynical Cineast. Of course, I also upload content to on Patreon at Kino Bambino. That's patreon.com/KinoBambino if you want to support my work. But this is The Bargain Bin, of course, where I'm joined by my illustrious co-host,
Felicity Brownstone of MoviesMoviesMovies.com. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome, Felicity. Always great to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you, too.
And of course, we're discussing the big subject of the day, which I... Hopefully we don't come to blows over it here, because I think you and I might have some slightly different points of view.
I'd say
on
so.
Some of this stuff.
I think
we're talking
we might.
About the new Sight and Sound poll.
Yes.
And you'll forgive me. I think maybe you're going to have to explain what exactly Sight and Sound is, because I honestly had never heard of it until about a week ago, and suddenly it was all everyone on Twitter was talking about.
Oh, classic Filmster right here. So the Sight and Sound is a monthly film magazine published by the British Film Institute. And so it is a poll that has been going out since the year 1952. And first year, what one was Bicycle Thieves. After that, it was Citizen Kane. In 62, Citizen Kane again in 72.
So who exactly is it who's voting on this very important poll? Is it all the elite Cannes Film Festival types, the very important and very intelligent, the intelligentsia?
There's a certain amount of the academia and the film intelligentsia that votes. There's also, like, I got a ballot this year, like, not to brag or anything. I know you didn't get a ballot, unfortunately, but I got one, and so I put my top 10 on there.
I wouldn't know what to do with it if I got it.
And also, many, many directors put their ballots up, like, say, like, a Ty West or a Robert Eggers or a Michael Mann. They all put their ballots up. And so there's a critics top 100 and directors top 100.
Right. And so on these top 100 lists, I'm guessing there were approximately zero movies made before, say, 1980. These are all, it's all old black and white movies and foreign films, all the fancy stuff that really smart, intelligent critics like. And by the way, on everything that I have to say about critics here, present company excluded, okay, Felicity, you are
one
of the good ones, one of the very few good ones
in
my book.
Please. Well, Filmster...
Frankly, I'm pissed off they still haven't given you the top critic star on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't understand how some of those pretentious dorks can be top critics on Rotten Tomatoes, and you're not.
Well, you know, it's like, it's an industry like any other, and you work your way up, and not to say anything bad about the people at Rotten Tomatoes, there are some nice people that run that site, but, you know, it would be nice to be promoted a little bit.
I'm still not aggregated at all in Rotten Tomatoes. I've applied every year. They say some bullshit about how it's supposed to be written reviews, and videos don't count for their aggregator. I don't know. This is the thing about the film criticism establishment. They still don't see YouTube videos as a legitimate medium for criticism, even though
you have so many subscribers. You have 257,000 subscribers.
Exactly. And not only that, but YouTube videos are in themselves cinematic in a way that written criticism is not. So YouTube reviews are more of an art form in and of themselves that has connection to, it's almost, I'm almost more of a filmmaker in my own right than a critic, since my reviews come in video form, but they don't see it that way.
Filmster, who would you say are the directors that most influence the filmmaking for your videos? I see a little bit of Edgar Wright in there. I see a little bit of James Gunn there. Would you agree with that?
Oh, Edgar Wright, definitely. James Gunn, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love James Gunn, but, you know, I've been in this industry for a while, you know. James Gunn is really more of a peer to me, I think.
Oh, that's true. You do go out for coffee. I remember that, yes.
I would say, who are my biggest influences? Well, of course, I mean, Doug Walker, Nostalgia Critic.
Oh, yes,
know.
Yes.
He's the king.
He's the guy.
He really pioneered the art form.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
all have to remember it, so the audience won't have to.
I like to think that I have a little bit of a Michael Moore kind of sensibility, yeah. You know, in my style of editing, very irreverent and very frenetic, very a lot like Edgar Wright, yeah. Like you said, but you know, it's obviously a little bit more of a documentary than the narrative form. Yeah. What I do, so
I gotta
so
be
very,
honest,
very,
I,
very influenced by Michael Moore in a way. You know, I don't agree with all of his like crazy politics, you know, but I definitely inspired me as a content creator. I respect him.
Yeah, like you know, Michael Moore, he has those Bernie bro-ish takes, but you know, he like. I have to say, he did do something unique with Canadian Bacon. That is very Kubrickian in the way that he tackles comedy.
So funny, and
isn't
so
it?
Underrated.
It makes me guffaw every single time I watch it. And I have to admit, you know this, I don't guffaw much at the new comedies that come out. It's hard to get me to do a guffaw.
It's also, you know, what I love so much about Canadian Bacon is it is a comedy that is... It is political, but it's not like ideological.
Yeah.
They have a lot of fun with politics and ideas about politics, but it's not like, you know, nowadays everything has to be so full. There's so much agenda. There's agendas in everything. You can't do stuff that's just funny.
Yes.
And that was so great is that Michael Moore could do a political comedy and have it be just funny.
Look at the slapstick of someone like a Laurel and the Hardy. They could do the silly. They could be even a little political in like having the mayor wear like big pants, but they weren't like telling you who to vote for or whatnot.
Well, all right, Felicity. I'm glad you and I could find a little common ground.
Yeah.
We both appreciate Canadian Bacon.
Yeah.
Such an underrated classic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Opposed to films like Tommy Boy and say, what else? Billy Madison. That
oh,
is like a
well, hey,
like...
easy there. That's my childhood you're talking about, Felicity, okay?
It was my childhood too, but you know, I went in and I like watched like Murphy Brown. I watched reruns of Murphy Brown to get attuned to the politics before me. That's the political comedy I watch. The number one film. Let's just jump right into the number one film.
You said there's a critics list and a filmmakers list.
There are two.
Well,
lists.
Which one was the one with the? Ugh, I'm gonna totally screw up the pronunciation. The Jean Dielman.
Oh yes, Jean Dielman.
Now how is? Sorry, I didn't take French. All right, I took Spanish in school.
Oh, so that makes you much more prepared to read off titles by Louis Buñuel.
Oh, don't count on it. I got straight C minuses in that class.
Hey, you know, the American public school system isn't that great. It's a good thing that my parents put me into magnet schools, so I didn't have to deal with that.
So which one was the one that said John Dillman or whatever was the number one movie instead of, say, you know, Citizen Kane or a Vertigo?
It was the critics list, and the critics list we voted, and it got 13% as opposed to Vertigo's 12.7% or Citizen Kane's 9.9%. 215 total votes.
Okay, Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's great that something other than Citizen Kane or Vertigo gets the top spot, because how sick are we of hearing about how Citizen Kane is the
You know, it's not even the best Orson Welles. The best Orson Welles has to be filming The Trial.
Okay, well, I've never seen that one. I've seen Citizen Kane, of course. We watched it in a high school class, and it's fine. I mean, it's kind of boring. It's a little, you know, it's just dated. And I understand that at the time, that was like a really great movie because it was just new. But now it just feels so dated and so
old. It doesn't have the narrative. It doesn't have the narrative that it should.
The old age make it looks so fake, him playing an old, and like with the stuff they can do now with special effects, that it just doesn't,
you know, what special effects would have improved it? Would you want him to fly? Would you want the sled to fly over Charles Foster Kane's head?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it looks goofy and fake, you know? They don't, it's just old, you know? Like, I don't have anything against old movies. I'm not saying old movies are all bad, but it's just feels, I feel like a regular average moviegoer can't enjoy something like that the way they could say, I don't know, something that's great and truly timeless like Jaws, which was the most popular movie ever for a reason, because it's a great movie and it's fun. And what good reason is there for Jaws or Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope to not be the number one movie of all time? That's what's so pretentious about it, because those are, if you look at the numbers and you look at how many people have heard of it and seen it, like those movies are really the best ones in a popular sense, but they're not anywhere near the tops of these lists. What's that about?
No, they're not. Well, you know, John Dillman, I don't think it's the best of.
Or Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, Raiders. That was.
Is that did that, Raiders did, of the Lost Ark even make the list?
It
at
did
all?
Not make the list.
See, that's the either of the lists, not the director's list or the
neither of the lists.
See, that's just
no appearance for Steven Spielberg's 1978.
No, there was no Steven Spielberg on the list at all.
Well, I mean that film, but I'm not sure about.
I mean, I think we can generally agree that Steven Spielberg is probably the greatest director of all time.
Well, you know, I did Hook a lot. I did like Hook.
The sheer volume of hits. No other director has a track record like him with as many hits and as many different genres.
Well,
I think no one can top Spielberg.
Well, I don't think there's been that great a Spielberg movie. I think the last two great Spielberg movies were Catch Me If You Can and The Adventures of Tintin, in my personal opinion.
Adventures of Tintin. That's too much CGI. That's when sometimes the special effects is just like this Avatar. I can't believe people are getting so excited about this Avatar sequel all of a sudden.
All this Avatar. Like, No one can remember the guy's name.
Already agree that nobody likes this movie and that it's stupid? Avatar, I mean, what I prefer to call it Pocahontas in Space.
Whoa.
That's really what it is. Whoa. And frankly, have an Avatar the Last Airbender, and James Cameron just had to come and steal the name when there was already something called Avatar, which is so confusing. Mm-hmm. And then, if that's not bad enough, it's just Fern Gully in space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's dances with...
It's Captain Planet.
Dances with Smurfs is another funny name I thought of for it.
Oh, that's very clever.
I
saw you tweet that earlier. How many repeats did that get?
And it's just wall-to-wall CGI. And Tintin is the same. And look, I said, Steven Spielberg, he's the best. He's the best to ever do it. He's the man. But Tintin, it's like, does it have to be just nothing but wall-to-wall CGI? Like, whatever happened to practical effects?
Well, you know, like, some of those effects, those practical effects, they didn't really work as well. Like, you know, like, that shark and Jaws. That shark and Jaws was very,
like... But
there's
a charm.
You could see, like, the guy's wristwatch on the shark from Jaws. It was so goofy.
Okay,
it was so goofy.
Okay, but there's a charm to it. It ruined
the entire film.
It ruined the film. Okay, now you're... Oh, Jaws? It ruins Jaws?
It ruins Jaws.
You're saying Jaws is bad.
Jaws is okay, but it's
ruined. We're talking about Jaws. Holy...
The first two acts are good. It's a 70s film. It's immaculate with Richard Dreyfuss and Roy Scheider. But, you know, that shark had to come and wreck it. Like he wrecked that beach.
I can't even believe what I'm hearing right now. We need to just get past this.
Let's go to a break.
Okay. Of course, the Bargain Bin is brought to you by our sponsor, BetterHelp. We're so proud to talk to you about BetterHelp.
Yes.
It's you know, a lot of people think that therapy is just like for like crazy people.
Yeah,
like,
it's for crazy people or the fancy types.
People, first of all, they think only fancy, rich people that like John Dillman, can go to therapy. But therapy is actually a great thing for everybody. And it's great that BetterHelp believes that therapy should be something available to anybody. It shouldn't be restricted to, you know, rich people. And also, I think people are realizing more and more that there's nothing bad about going to therapy. You know, in The Sopranos, you know, he goes to therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that was something that helped normalize therapy for a lot of people. Is like a badass guy like that doing therapy.
You know, like when I talk to my therapist, you know, we mostly just talk about like the soup that I had for breakfast, because they are just like, you don't really have any problems or any like perspective on life whatsoever. And I'm like, oh, silly, I'm actually a film critic, so I have tons of opinions on the world, but thank you for saying that I'm so perfect. And but BetterHelp is even for people like me as well. So
no, I don't go to therapy. It's just never really been for me. You know, I tried it, but you know, I'm really more into developing a personal practice. I'm very into meditation.
Oh, yes.
I really like finding ways to connect with the spiritual and find my own inner peace. But for a lot of people, it's good to, you know, talk to someone.
Yes.
A lot of people like therapy. Mm-hmm. And BetterHelp is, it's like an app.
It's an app.
Is that right? Do you use BetterHelp, Felicity?
No, but my, you know, the guy that mows my lawns, he uses BetterHelp, and he says it's a great app with a great layout.
Oh, really?
And he actually used our code.
You talk to the person that mows your lawn?
Yes. Well, he wasn't mowing the lawn one day because he was at my little stool and tables crying, and I was like, hey, you got.
And
you got mowed the lawn, and he's like,
and you didn't,
I can't,
you didn't,
I'm sad.
I mean, he's being paid for his time, right? And he's sitting around crying. I mean, isn't that like,
I mean,
don't get me wrong, but
when I talked to my financial planner, they were up in arms with me, even taking a minute to talk to him. So,
I mean, I have problems too, but I don't bring it here. I don't come into the podcast booth and cry to you about my personal problems because I'm here to do a job.
Yeah, going against what my financial planner would have said, I chose to tell him to just go on to BetterHelp and use our promo code so he could get 25% off his first month of sessions. And
wow.
So, hey.
And I assume he's doing much better now, and he's healthy and happy.
Oh, yes, he's actually been promoted to being pool boy.
Promoted? You mean you promoted him? I didn't realize that pool boy was a promotion from lawnmower. I thought those were sort of separate fields.
Well, you know, the pool is a much nicer area of the house. And he actually gets room and board now.
Oh, so he's become like sort of a live-in servant for you. He lives in your house and he uses your promo codes and
in the pool house. He lives in the pool house, very separate from my house.
But you provide food for him as well? You said he gets room and board?
Well, he gets his own food. We provide boards for him.
Boards? What kind of boards? Like board games? What do you mean? I thought board meant that you provide meals.
No, we don't do that. We provide board games, yes, his enjoyment, because there's no Wi-Fi in the pool house, and also he has to come over to our house to use BetterHelp, but we did also provide cardboard boxes for when he moved from his apartment to the pool house.
So when you said room and board, by room you meant your pool house, and by board you meant cardboard boxes to help him move into your pool house.
Yes.
Now, does he still get paid a salary, or is it just the pool house and the cardboard boxes are his...
You know, he still gets paid, but there's a little bit of rent that gets deducted.
Oh, of course. Gang, you gotta do that. Sign up for BetterHelp today and use promo code BARGAINBIN to get
25% off your first month.
25% off your first month of BetterHelp. Don't wait to make a change. Do it today. It's better help.
It's better help.
It's better. It's better than, you know, for some people, it might mm-hmm. be better than others. For me, better mm-hmm. help is doing TM, Transcendental Meditation.
Oh, yes. You're one of those. You've met David Lynch at the parties. You've got to meet him.
Oh, I wish. Mm-hmm. No, I got into TM after I was having a lot of personal troubles. You know, there mm-hmm. were some... There were some very shady people in the in the whole YouTube world. I don't want to get into all that drama, but mm-hmm. some very ugly things were said about me. A lot of people I thought were my friends stopped talking to me over a bunch of rumors and BS. But anyway, the point is using TM really helped me through all of that. But BetterHelp seems like a great option for our listeners, I'm sure. Promo code BARGAINBIN.
Promo code BARGAINBIN.
You're listening to the Bubble Fizz Network.
So, Filmster, can you believe this? The Bubble Fizz Network has another show coming its way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's called I Like Decades, where people go through decades of media and you talk about decades they like. Isn't that something?
Wow, yeah. And you can hear me, of course, on the very first episode talking about one of my favorite decades, the 90s.
Oh,
it's a decade where I grew up. Lots of great memories, lots of great movies from the 90s. I mean, like...
What's your favorite 90s movies?
Oh, jeez. Gosh. God. Jeez. I mean, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, of course. You know, a lot of people like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 better.
I did.
Personally, I was always more of a fan of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Uh-huh.
It was funnier. The girl who played April O'Neil was hotter, in my opinion, than
crude,
April O'Neil
okay.
in the first movie. And also, I really loved TMNT 3, which a lot of people said sucked, and it was
unwatchable.
A shitty movie.
Unwatchable.
Oh, God, you're one of those. You're one of those TMNT 3 haters. But, you know, I cover all this in my episode appearance, of course. You know, they just don't, like... If you ask me, the 90s was the best decade for movies mm-hmm. in history, and definitely the best decade for TV cartoon. I mean, have you seen some of the kids' cartoons they have now? The crap that kids have to watch now, I feel bad for them.
Yeah, my nieces and nephews.
They don't get to watch.
They have to go.
They don't get to watch good stuff like Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold, Cat Dog, they get no Cat Dog these days.
No Cat Dog. It's all a bunch of stupid crap. I try to watch some of that stuff. They have cartoons now, and it's just stupid. How about you? What's your favorite decade? Let me guess. The 1920s. because you love old silent films, right?
Close.
I bet you love
the decade when there's...
Oh, the 1930s. Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Screwballs. There were the Screwballs and there were the romantic films. It was a time for sound. Sound started. And, you know, people like to say that it looks visually boring. People love to say that the early sound films were visually boring. Lies. Those are actually the most visually complex because they had to be in such small spaces and barely do anything. So they had to do it all in their eyes. You see my eyes, filmster? Those are what they were using. Those were what they were using in those early sounds. Those and their mouths. Because now they could talk. They could talk as much as they wanted.
If you say so, Felicity. Hey, geez, you sound like one of these sight and sound critics. Oh, you are one of those sight and sound critics,
yes.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Present company excluded.
I have had a byline with them once.
Well, anyway, gang, check out I Love Decades right here on the Bubble Fuzz Network.
Yes, please do. And we are back talking more about the Sight and Sound 2022 list.
Welcome back to the bargain bin, folks. It's me, the filmster, a.k.a. the cynical cineast, a.k.a. Kino Bambino.
Here again with me, Felicity Brownstone.
Okay, so why don't we get into this whole Johnny Dillman thing? What is this movie, and what is it about it that's so smart and so special that these pretentious critics all have to make it number one just to show everyone how much smarter and more sophisticated they are?
Well, so you know, the film, it was shot in 1975. It was shot over the course of 5 weeks, and the budget for the film was a $120,000 grant from the Belgian government. And I know what you think when I say a grant from the government to make a film. You think it might be propaganda, which in a lot of cases is true. But this one in particular, it's not much a piece of propaganda, I would say. But, well, filmster, will you agree or disagree with the propaganda of state-owned media? You see, it's in Russia now with RT. It's everywhere, kind of.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, that Russian propaganda, I mean, you know, you see this Russian propaganda now all over the internet, all over Twitter. And that's how it is in a totalitarian state like China. But I don't know. Belgium is, I mean,
they have waffles.
I don't really know much about Belgium, but I assume that they're not like a communist dictatorship like Russia. Yes. So I guess it wouldn't necessarily be, you know, like they're just about supporting the arts, in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Belgium is kind of like the Canada of Europe, is that right?
Interesting. I have heard it discussed this that way by some theorists.
I thought so. And yeah. Belgium has waffles and Canada has maple syrup, so they're kind of like sister countries,
yes,
in that way.
Certainly. So because I know you love
those
Billy
seen...
Madison and Happy Gilmore movies, which Bob Barker appeared in, I'm going to give you some Price is Right rules. Guess how long the movie Jean Dillman is?
Let me guess. 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Close, but you actually are a bit too high. It's 3 hours and 21 minutes, coming in at 201 minutes of cinema.
Over 200 minutes of people speaking French with subtitles, and don't get me wrong, I'll watch a 3-hour movie, like, of course, Peter Jackson's excellent Lord of the Rings trilogy,
bit overlong to me,
not so much those stupid Hobbit movies, which are just full of CGI.
I feel it's like
Avatar. Much CGI. I feel like I might as well be watching Avatar.
What about the scene of the barrels? That was some ornate blocking, I have to say.
The barrel scene in and of itself is like a fun scene to watch, but when you consider how The Hobbit is like this nice little children's story, and they made it so long and gave... I mean, in the book, they're just in some barrels. They get in some barrels, and they go down the river, and that's it. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Peter Jackson, for some crazy reason, has to make everything so long. It becomes like mm-hmm. a 40-minute action sequence, and it's just, you know, and it's just not what mm-hmm. The Hobbit is about, and not what it's supposed to be. But the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the original, the classics, you know, very long 3-hour movies... But, you know, unlike John Dillman, mm-hmm. they spent years making these movies. They weren't made in 15 days.
Yeah.
These took so long and took so much commitment and so much went into it and so much money. And then, like, but you expect me to watch a 3-hour movie that's what? It's about some lady in her apartment smoking cigarettes? I mean, what is the movie even about?
So it's a series of long takes, a slice of life film, if you will, kind of like one of your favorite directors, Mr. Kevin Smith. Like, it goes in that realm of, you know, she will be doing the dishes. She'll be peeling carrots. She'll be whittling on the potatoes. And okay, it's just about
okay,
her life.
But in Kevin Smith, in his early movies, because, of course, I mean, let's face it, he's not exactly what he once was, you know. But in his early movies, in his good movies, they might be slice of life, but... they're talking about fucking funny shit, you know? It's like real life, but the people in it are fucking funny. And,
well, you know,
and
they said
keeps
he's
me
like...
entertained. There has to be something that at least keeps me entertained. I don't want to see a woman just chopping vegetables or whatever. That's not entertainment. And I'm sorry, but movies are entertainment. Like, yeah, I understand it's an art form, but the primary purpose of a movie is to be entertaining. And I don't care how artistic it is to show a woman just sitting in her apartment, checking the mail or whatever. Like, that's not entertaining.
Well, you know, I do also personally think that John Dillman, it's a little too long and overwrought. I feel like many of her movies, like, there have been other movies that have better... portrayed this, like, say, like, Waiting is a good example.
Oh, Waiting. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, look, Waiting is a stupid fucking movie, but it's funny. I mean, sometimes you just want
to
it has
Waiting, real sociological opinions to it. I feel like it has some sociological
Sure. All I'm saying is, like, is it the greatest movie of all time? Is it Citizen Kane? No. But sometimes you just want to laugh and have a fucking good time. And it's nice when a movie doesn't take itself so seriously. I mean, that's the problem with so much stuff nowadays, is that they have to be so serious about everything. I can't even enjoy like a Batman movie anymore, because it has to be so serious and dark. Everything is so dark and
I personally like it being
serious.
Dark. Like, you know, like, why don't these characters be serious? Why not? Why so serious,
as
the Joker said?
So you think Waiting should have been more serious? You think they should have had less comedy and kind of...
I believe
been more,
so.
Been more sociologically serious.
Well, you know, it does have pieces of the mumblecore movement in it, and you know, I'm a big believer in the mumblecore. I feel like mumblecore should be a new wave of mumblecore every 5 years.
And how do you feel about the fact that Ryan Reynolds' character in Waiting, his kind of main arc through the whole movie, is that he really wants to have sex with this 17-year-old girl, that she has to wait, but he has to wait until she turns 18 so it'll be okay. But in the end, it's basically decided that everyone agrees that it's kind of okay for them to have sex just because she wants to and she's going to be 18 anyway. So, like, what's the difference? Close enough. I mean, is that something that, like...
Well, you know, it's very Chaplin-esque.
Since you love those old French movies, I mean, they're very enlightened about that kind of stuff. So I guess you would, I guess...
Well, you know, all the greats, they can't...
It's Chaplin-esque. And what do you mean by that? How is it Chaplin-esque? You mean like Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin, yes.
Not too familiar with his movies, of course. I don't really watch a lot of silent movies.
Well, you know, he's a bit of a tramp, if you will, and he is that way in more than
he's
one
a,
way.
You mean he's like a slut? Like he fucks around?
Well, he is a little bit of a Lothario, but he's also like, he wears funny gloves that are always dirty. He's homeless. He's homeless, so he's always kind of dirty too.
He's homeless. Okay.
He's homeless. Yes.
So how is that like Ryan Reynolds having sex with the teenage girl? He's homeless. I mean, there's no one's homeless, and I don't really. If anything, he sounds more like the Andy Milonakis character.
Oh yes, Andy Milonakis, one of cinema's most underrated screensavers.
Screensaver, like flying coasters.
No, I mean he saves a picture.
Who remembers that? Any 90s kids remember flying toasters?
Oh, yes, the toaster. The toaster was a good time. The toaster. That's something to say. I think, what? At least.
What are you talking? Do you even know what I'm talking about? It was a screensaver. Were you even alive in the 90s?
I was. You know, I just had a different background. We had... Our screensavers were of wheat fields.
Okay. So yes. You just kind of pretended to know what I was talking about there.
No, but there was a toaster in the screensaver as well, because it started in the kitchen.
In the wheat field?
In the kitchen of the ranch, in the wheat field, where most of the screen was taken by the big windows that had the wheat field. But there was also a little toaster in the edge that was, like, slowly... making the French toast, and you know,
you don't make French toast in a toaster.
The French toast stinks.
You make the whole point of French toast is you make it on a pan.
No, it's like those French... it's those French toast sticks that are microwavable.
That was in the screensaver. You can tell that through the window of a kitchen in a wheat field. You can tell that there's French toast sticks in the toaster. I think you're just making stuff up. I think you're just trying to cover up for the fact that you hadn't heard of Flying Toaster, and you're trying to play it off, and you're just making up this whole weird thing that obviously doesn't exist just to cover up the fact that you had never heard of Flying Toasters.
Well, you know, you could see the toaster. You could see it. It's whole emotion in the screensaver.
You go with your fancy movie critic jargon, trying to like talk over me and make me feel dumb, just so I'll forget about the fact that you clearly never heard of the flying, which is fine to not know about the flying toaster screensaver.
Okay, do you want to hear the truth?
No. I wanted to hear what you had to say about Andy Milonakis, but honestly, now all I can think about is The Brave Little Toaster, which was also a great 90s classic.
You know what that actually leads me to? I feel like there should be a Brave Little Toaster remake starring Andy Milonakis. He needs a career revival. If Tarantino won't do it, then who will?
Playing the voice of the toaster. Yeah, yes. I'd watch that.
Yes, and it should be Steven Spielberg directing in the same style as Tintin.
Oh, here you go with Tintin. Why do you love CGI? You want it to be a CGI Brave Little Toaster?
Yes.
See, what made those classic movies, Brave Little Toaster, Land Before Time, so great is that they were hand-drawn. That was real animation. And now everything is CGI. I'm so sick of it.
You want to ruin
the Brave Little Toaster. You want to desecrate a classic by making it some Tintin Avatar CGI Zack Snyder bullshit.
Oh, don't bring Zack Snyder's name up with me. Don't bring up those trolls with me. Those fucking trolls. I don't really swear that often, but with them, those fucking trolls who won't fucking stop talking about their Snyder fucking cut.
Trust me, I have them in my mentions 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They never stop going on and on about their bro king Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
But he's the perfect example of everything taking itself so seriously. There's no fun or joy to be had in his serious, dark, gritty Superman movie, you know?
Not a single moment. They're so lifeless. There's so no life.
Dreary.
There's no life.
And it's sad. It's really sad that there's these trolls online that,
you know, you know what I feel like? I feel like everyone who posts online, they should be required to post with their real name.
Under their real names. Like, yeah.
Unlike you, Filmster. Yep. Filmster, you are an exception. You're allowed to post under your name.
Well, I have an established brand as the Filmster, a.k.a. the Cynical Cineast. That is my identity. That's who I am and how I'm known to the world. I'm not just some guy named Naruto Fan 69420 with a cartoon. I do have a cartoon PFP, but it is a cartoon rendering of my actual face looks like. So that's different. I don't have some anime character. And I'm some anonymous account. Brigading and attacking women, which is what they do. That's what these Snyder cultists do.
They're like wolves. Attack women. They're wolves. They attack and pack.
And that's how you know that those movies are just so misogynistic, and they're all about hating women.
Truly.
And really, what they're all about is being nothing but CGI and green screen and special effects. You know.
Well, you know. The green screen, it is an improvement on the past, but it needs to be used like Peter Parker's uncle said in the first Spider-Man film, which I still find the best. With great power comes great responsibility.
Okay. If you want to hear a hot take, look.
Okay.
I never thought the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies were that good.
Wow. Right?
Like, they were fine. I mean, back then, there was just so little else. I mean, you had, like, Daredevil. There's the god-awful Joel Schumacher Batman movies. Oh,
don't
you know?
Get me started
then,
on that.
You know, though. So when Spider-Man came along, sure, it seemed great. But now seeing Spider-Man as part of, like, a larger world and a larger universe, it just makes the narrative so much deeper and richer. And it's more like the source material and how Stan Lee intended it to be in the comics when you see him interact with all these other characters. Mm. So, look, like, I know, you know, and I'm going to have these Snyder freaks jumping down my throat trolling me because I said this.
Don't get them in my Menchies.
But I just like, look, I know everybody loves the, and they're fine. I don't hate the Sam Raimi movies, but like Kevin Feige is just doing it. He's just making more out of it. He's making it bigger and he's doing more. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for Bargain Bin this week.
Unfortunately, I love the decades. They're recording 5 minutes, so we have to get out of here.
We gotta get out of the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Scotty. He's pointing at his watch. It says it's almost 4 o'clock, and you know.
Okay, yeah. But I think we covered everything about the Sight and Sound list, right? It was John Dilberg.
Yes, John Dillman. You mean Filmster?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna come over to your apartment later tonight. I'm actually gonna show it to you in all of its entirety.
Tonight, I don't know about that. I don't think it's a good time. I've been rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, yes.
I haven't watched it in like almost a year, so I'm rewatching all of that and all of Firefly. So I don't think I have time to watch John Dillman today.
Okay. Well, but if you ever want to come over with me and the pool boy, we can watch it.
Pool boy. Okay. You're getting really close to this pool boy.
Well, not that close, but we sometimes watch movies together in the living room.
Okay. How old is he? Just out of curiosity.
26.
He's an adult. Okay. Okay. All right. Didn't know if there was a kind of a Ryan Reynolds in waiting kind of situation there.
Of course not.
Oh, I mean, you said it was Chaplin-esque. You love Charlie Chaplin so much. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind
of... I love seeing Charlie Chaplin in a screen. I don't like seeing it in some... I don't like seeing it in my own life.
Okay. Well, we got to get out of here.
Scotty's just getting us out. He's like taking Filmster out of the chair.
Check me out YouTube and Filmster on YouTube, of course, on The Cynical Cineast at Substack, and you can always subscribe to me at Kino Bambino on Patreon.
And me, you can find me every single day at moviesmoviesmovies.com, Felicity Brownstone, Felicity Brownstone on all the social medias for you. And yes, so happy bargaining.
We'll see you next time in the bin.